All right, if you ain't going to talk to me, I'm going to talk to you. All right. Romans chapter 8. Let's go to verse 2. We got to look at verse 2. We'll read verse 2, 3, and 4. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's that saying again. All right. Boy. It's amazing to me how they can say so much in just so few words, really. And it's amazing, too, in the book of Romans, how that the same message just keeps getting hammered over and over and over. I don't know if you can see it or not. I don't know how you could not see it when you read through it and study it and all that. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, all things created by God operate in an orderly manner according to laws or established principles. That's what laws are. A law, you know, the word law describes things or processes as they invariably are. Now, that's what law is. Law is not a force. Law is just the inevitable manner in which forces work. So that's important that you understand that. We got to understand that. The law. Laws. There's not just one law. There's laws about everything. Real science studies the laws of nature. That everything happens the same way. There's certain things and certain ways that things work. And it's a law, you know. There's laws in every area. There's that are very obvious. There's laws of nature. There's laws of physics. There's the law of gravity. There's laws of thermodynamics. There's the seasons. I mean, that's just, there's a law there. It happens the same way. Every year we go through summer. We go through fall, we go through winter, we go through spring, then we go back to summer. I mean, it's seed time and harvest, the seasons God established after the flood, going to be that way from now to the end. You can bank on it. You can make a calendar by it. It's going to be exactly the same. Time passes, there's laws in all everything. There are things that are unchangeable and always work in the same orderly manner. There's laws behind all that. We can recognize, we can see laws. Laws are the invariable manner in which forces work. There's laws like in mathematics and like in music. There's order and there's absolutes there. I like that. I like music. I like mathematics because it's certain. And it's just so neat. That's an insufficient word. How it works. Everything has a mathematical parallel to it. It's amazing to me. You know, they sit and figure out the orbits of the planets and all of that, and it's mathematics is how they figure out how to put a satellite in orbit, how they put a spacecraft on another planet. Mathematics. I don't know if some of you saw this. I think some of you did because you mentioned it to me, but I read some. She saw some the other day about it. But there was this black woman that worked for NASA. She was young, but she was extremely good with mathematics back in the beginning when they didn't have computers and all of that to figure everything, and she was the main one that figured the trajectories and everything to get the men on the moon with a pencil and a piece of paper. Figuring mathematics, it works. You can tell everything. I wonder if any of you's ever studied that thing about the spiral and how mathematics are related to that spiral, like in a seashell, like in a whirlpool, like anything that swirls like that. It's really neat. You'll look it up. There's laws involved in everything. Now, that's what he's talking about here tonight. The law of sin brings forth death, always. The law of sin and death, well, it just works the same way every time. You never get by with it. Nobody has ever got by with sin without death. The law of sin and death. Pretty certain, ain't it? They've got this saying, the world does, there's two things, death and taxes, that are sure. Well, yeah, death's sure. But there's another law, according to this, that overrides that law. Yeah. See, the world, and that's what's wrong with everybody when they say, well, we're all sinners. They're still under that law of sin and death. They think it's undeniable, there's nothing that can fix that, really. That's what they really believe. No, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath what?
Made me free
from the law of sin and death. A law is something that is unchangeable and unalterable. A law is what rules or governs any aspect of God's creation. A law describes the way things are as much as it commands action or inaction. Now, we talk about the law, you know, breaking the law and all of that, the law of Moses. I mean, you got, in order to understand the law of Moses, you've got to understand the basic thing about law is that it is a description of the way things work. And everything God created works according to these laws we've been talking about. He didn't just set it up where it's just random and arbitrary and you never know what's going to happen next. No, he set it up where it is exactly. Every day has 24 hours. The sun's going to come up in the morning right when it's supposed to come up. It's going to set tomorrow right when it's supposed to set. Everything works like more precise than any clock that was ever made. I'm glad he did it that way. It sure gives us a good foundation. It gives us a security that there couldn't possibly be if things were changeable. When God says something, when God creates something, when God sets it in order and puts it how he wants it to be, that's the way it works from now on. Now, there's laws. I hope you understand that. All right? The law of sin and death. No matter if every single person defies it, they'll find that it's as true as the law of gravity. It is a law. It's not a theory or an opinion or a suggestion. Sin brings forth death every time. And not only that, but it brings forth misery and destruction and chaos and confusion and misery and guilt and sorrow and tears. That's what sin does. The law of sin. The law of sin, that's what it produces. That's the result of it. Always. Always. You do well to get that in your mind and in your heart deep planted tonight. Sin will bring forth death. I mean, death, death, death. It don't mean that you're just going to die someday. You're going to die every day of your life because of it. Sin is destruction. So count that as true before you step over the line. Before you bail off into it. Before you just shuck everything and go for it. Better remember, there's a law about that. Sin brings forth death. The law of sin and death. Everybody here has done it. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. Come short of the glory of God. We all had to come to a place. If we're not still under the rule of the law of sin and death now in our life, then we're not saved, see? When you get saved, you get delivered from that. And we're going to see how in just a second here. Sinners consider themselves free from the law of God because they simply ignore it. and do as they please. But one day they'll feel the strong arm of the law of God, the law of sin and death. You'll feel it one day. You can ignore it and laugh and make a mock at sin. And you can go on and just like billions of other people have done through the ages and think you are going to get away with it. But you are not going to get away with it. It's the law of sin and death. And it works the same way every time. Every time. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the influence of the Spirit of God on a person who has been saved, is referred to as a law. There's another law, Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. There's another law. Besides the law of sin and death, there's another law about this matter. There's another law that applies here. Therefore, it ought to be considered as a law. We should recognize that it possesses all the same attributes as any other laws that we've talked about. There's some laws that govern, that describe, that show us how. I mean, it happens this way every time when somebody gets saved. There's a different influence in their life. There's a different walk in their life. There's a different purpose in their life. Saved people walk a different walk than lost sinners do. And that's the whole book of Romans. He's just back and forth, telling us this. And then the modern theologians and Christians come up with this idea, it ain't no difference, we're all sinners. They ain't reading the book. Boy, I don't know what happened there. You got some poison somewhere, but you ain't understanding it right. It's plain as day here. It should be given all the same acknowledgement, respect, and submission that we would give to any other law of God in nature. A child of God lives holy. They're concerned about it. They're servants of righteousness, not servants of sin. It's a law. Just like the law of gravity, all the laws of nature. That's the way it is. They're not the same. This old stuff of just, well, you never know and nobody can tell and you can't judge people and all that. What a bunch of junk. Amen. There's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Yep. There's a way that people live who've been saved. Amen. There's an attitude that they have in their heart toward the Word of God and toward God and everybody else. They're different. It changes things. It sets them free, makes them free from the law of sin and death. Well, I think that's what Jesus said when he said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Free from what? Free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit supersedes and cancels the law of sin. Now, here's how it works. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. It cancels its effects. That's the wonderful thing about God forgiving our sin. It does cancel the effects. Because if it didn't, your life would still be miserable after you get saved. You'd still reap and reap and reap in your soul the effects of sin and death. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Laws are not nullified or really canceled, but they're superseded by other laws which cancel their action. See, here's what I'm talking about. Let me try to illustrate it and see if we can understand it a little better. Y'all know what the law of gravity is, don't you? Yes. I mean, what goes up must come down. The law of gravity. If you hold something up and drop it, it's going to fall to the ground. Well, won't it? Yeah, well, there's a law. Law of gravity. It's constantly pulling and drawing us down. All right, then how do birds fly? How do they defy the law of gravity? Yes. There's another law. Yes. It don't mean the law of gravity is not in effect. Doesn't mean the law of gravity is done away with. Doesn't mean they're not under the law of gravity anymore. But they can fly. You can't argue with that. Mm-hmm. You can fill a balloon with helium or hot air, and gravity don't hold it down, does it? Is the law of gravity still in effect?
Yes.
Yeah. Look at that bird fly. I guess there ain't no gravity anymore. Oh, yeah, there is. Yeah, there is. You see, there's another law. Without somebody, you know, well, here, think about this. When somebody eats a poison mushroom, or you get bit by a snake that sticks poison in you, injects poison in you, well, what's going to happen? There's a law involved there. You're going to die. Well, what is it that'll save you? Well, if you get an antidote, it'll cancel the effect of the poison. Does that mean that poison won't kill you? Oh, yes, it will. But there's another law that says this cancels that out. Can you all understand that?
Yes.
The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
Yes.
Doesn't mean the law of sin and death is canceled. It just means there's a higher law that has canceled the effects of that. And that, what is the means to obtain that? Well, it's the atonement of Christ. By, you know, forgiveness of sin by trusting in the atonement of Christ is the antidote for sin, and it's working in our members. It's made me free from the law of sin and death. What? The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. He's our substitute. He's our atonement. Yeah. He became sin for us. He became our sin sacrifice. He took our place. God accepted His death instead of our death, in the place of our death. And so, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things are old things passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You see? It's Him. The Spirit of life, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We've got to be in Him. Spirit of God has got to be in you. You got to be walking after the Spirit. And then the law of sin and death doesn't have that effect on you anymore. You're not still walking after the flesh and the law of sin and death. A person who's in Christ is ruled and governed by a higher law than the law of sin and death. Now, before you got saved, me, anybody else, before we got saved, that's what ruled our life, the law of sin and death. We lived to sin, and we reaped the consequences. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, in verse 3.
Yes.
It's speaking here that the law of Moses here, also referred to as carnal ordinances in the Bible, it was the law of God, but it was not the rule by which men would govern themselves because they rebelled against it. See? Now, as we've seen before, the main purpose and the effect of the law of Moses was to reveal the sinfulness of man, and it was not ever a means of being justified. Nobody's ever been justified by the law of Moses. That's not what it was given for. That's not its purpose at all. Its purpose was to describe the invariable way that it is. To uncover sin, that sin by the commandment might be made exceedingly sinful. I'm not saying that exactly right. Become exceedingly sinful. I mean, we've been talking about that in the past chapters here, but that's the reason of the law was, I mean, its purpose and its effect, that's what it was, to make sin exceedingly sinful. So we can see and know what it's like. As we've seen before, the main purpose, that's what it was. Now, the law could never be fulfilled in sinful men, but it was fulfilled in the Son of God, who became the Son of Man. Son of God, Son of Man, same one, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The law was not weak. The flesh was weak. The law, weak through the flesh. It was not the law that was insufficient. It was man that was insufficient. We couldn't be saved. We couldn't be justified by the law. Impossible. It doesn't work. It's not fit for that. It's not designed for that. God didn't mean it for that, to try to justify us by the law. And yet there's still people today trying to be justified by the works of the law. Trying to... Now think about it here. They're trying to be what the law describes as can never be. See, the law, what is it? It describes the invariable way things work. Man is separated from God because of his sin. But man's going to say, well, I'm going to fix that because I'm just going to keep the law. No, it never happened. Never, not one time, ever did happen. Never will happen. That's not the way that you can be saved. There's no way anybody can be saved that way. You have to be saved because God became man and he fulfilled the law as a man and he died in our place. The Son of God became the Son of Man, and he lived a perfect life in the flesh and thus condemned sin in the flesh. He left us without an excuse. He didn't do this in divine power. This is an important point that a lot of people, most everybody disagree with me on this. Not you people, but other people will. They don't believe this. But it's the truth. I don't care what they say. I mean, I can prove it with the Bible. Jesus did not overcome sin with his divine power. He didn't rebuke the devil saying, "Do you know who you're talking to?" He didn't call upon his divine power to rebuke the devil. He used the word of God, which you have in your hand right now. Same one. Book of Deuteronomy, as a matter of fact, Jesus always quoted the book of Deuteronomy in the temptation. All right, so he overcame sin with the word of God and the spirit of God in a body of flesh just like ours. That's right. The Bible says that. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14-15 tells us that. He was made just like us. Flesh, blood, bone, everything, just like us. He was tempted in all points, just as we are, yet without sin. He left us without an excuse. He didn't do this in divine power, but only by submitting his flesh to the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and for sin he became our sacrifice for sin. Then it says in verse 4 that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh. Us who walk not after the flesh. Well, you think about people who say, well, I'm saved, but I walk after the flesh. You know, I get in the flesh. I'm in the flesh. I mean, how can you expect me to not sin because I got this old flesh? There, and it says right there that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Well, who in the world is that? Is that somebody else? Is that some special group of people somewhere that lived way back 2,000 years ago and ain't none of them now? We're not like that at all. I mean, all of us, you know, I mean, walk after the flesh. Can't say you don't. You hear that stuff? Don't make no sense, does it? It's contrary to the Word of God. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If we're saved, We're no longer walking after the flesh then. I can't come to any other conclusion. It tells us this plainly over and over and over, and we're going to see it again and again in Romans chapter 8. It says it straight up, just as straight as you could possibly shoot. You're not walking after the flesh. You're not in the flesh, if so be that the Spirit of Christ dwelleth in you. You're not. Long as you think that the flesh is your body, then you're going to be confused from now till the day you die.
Yes, sir.
You got to understand that's not what he's talking about. We all got a body of flesh, but this is a tent that we live in. The flesh he's talking about is that body of sin that was in you, that you created with your habits and your lust and desires all of your life before you came to Christ. And he did away with that. And it was crucified with Christ. And you became a new creature. And God moved in and took over. And the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made you free from the law of sin and death. We're not lawless or left without a guide, but we're brought under a new law, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. What is that law? Well, we can walk as Jesus walked because of his Spirit that lives in us and guides us. He's the Spirit of truth. Jesus said when he comes, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Same one he's talking about. It's God. Comes and dwells in it. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost of God? Yeah. And you belong to him. The whole concept of salvation, as described by the Bible, is that we are delivered from the power of sin now, not at some point in the future after we die. It's a major error. And they say that what I'm saying is a heresy. Most of the world, most of the Christian so-called world would say that what I just said is a heresy. We know that that everybody sins. We know that we're all sinners. We sin every day in thought, word, and deed. And if you say you don't, you're a liar. That's the argument over and over and over. Well, then what are we going to do with this? What are we going to do with this? We might as well just rip it out of there and throw it away.
Yeah.
You ain't going to believe it. You have to tear everything out of the Bible except the middle part of Romans chapter 7, and that'll be your Bible. Because that's all there is that you can cling to, and it don't even mean what they're saying it does.
No, it doesn't.
We're saved from sin, so we can live and be a light shining in a dark world. That's the whole point. What in the world has God done if he's not done something for us so that we can be different than we were before we were lost and be different than the lost world around us? How are we going to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world if we're just like everybody else? It just ain't true. What is true is that we are different. When the Lord don't move into your soul and not make a difference in you. That old time religion made a difference in people. And the real thing still does. That gives hope to those who are lost in the darkness, because that's what they're looking for. They're looking for somebody who's real. Somebody who has really, their life has changed and it's made a difference. That's what they're looking for. They have to see that before they'll look any farther. They're not looking for religious people. They're not looking for hypocrites who just live like everybody else and then put on a show when they come to church or when they're around other religious people. They're looking for somebody who's changed, I mean, through and through, from the inside out. Where it's the change is so obvious that it's undeniable. That's what God does, too.
Yeah.
That's what God does. This gives hope to those who have destroyed themselves in their sin. You know, it's so ridiculous for any kind of preacher, church, Christian, any kind of Christian message to be put out there that conveys this idea to a lost sinner out there that really there is no hope. I mean, really, you can come get what we got, but you're still going to be a sinner, and you're still going to have those desires, and you're still going to be wicked in your heart, and you're still going to think evil thoughts all the time, and boy, you're just going to, all it's going to, they just get this idea that all it's about is just restraining yourself for the rest of your life. And still wanting it, but can't have it. You know, that's what it portrays. That's the message they hear. That's not the way it is at all. God changes your heart. We used to sing songs about it. The places I used to go, I don't go there anymore. There's been a great, 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 great change since Jesus, since I've been born again. That's the song. And then it just went on and on and on. Things I used to say, I don't say. People I used to love, I don't love them anymore. You know, like evil, sin. I turned from it. That was the theme of it. See? Now it's not the theme at all. Not at all. The theme now is me and loving myself and pleasing myself and gaining for myself and how great I am and how wonderful I am and how much God loves me. And boy, God's just going to exalt me and God's given me power. And that's the message now. It's all a lie. We as Christians are to be the fulfillment of the law and the prophets also. What I mean by that is our lives are to show forth the truth of all they said and all that God promised through all the ages. See, our life ought to be the real culmination of all those who came before us. The Bible said in Hebrews, for without us, they couldn't be made perfect. All they said, all they did, all they suffered, all they lived their lives and all their sacrifice and their faithfulness. It's our turn now. Yeah. I mean, we've got the fulfillment of it all. We've seen, we're 2,000 years this side of the cross. The sacrifice, the center of the whole thing of God. Jesus, the Son of God, crucified and rose again. The sacrifice, the Lamb of God. From the foundation, we see it all. So we ought to be different. We ought to be, Jesus said we're the light of the world. And that's just exactly what we ought to be. With all we've got behind us to look at. All the examples that we've had. And all that's been put into us by our spiritual ancestors. Ought to make us a holy people in these last days. We ought to be different, man. We ought to know the truth. And the truth ought to really make us free. And we ought to be able to tell the world. You know, that's where we're coming to next in this thing about, man, there ought to be power in our lives as a Christian. There ought to be power. They had it. And it's not power to slay them in the spirit. Not power to be proud of. It's not power to put on display. That's not. Our life ought to have power to influence people. Yes. To God. Toward God. Now the fact that reality is so far from that situation is evidence that most have missed the message or misunderstood the whole thing. The fact that we can look around us and say, man, boy, it sure ain't nothing like what we're reading it ought to be. That just shows you that most everybody's missed the message or misunderstood the message. What message? The message of salvation. The gospel. What God did. How this thing works. What it's all about. It's all been lost in all this watered down, sickening, idolatrous mess that's called churches in our day. What a mess. What a mess. Man, Lord help you. If you watch this stuff that you can see anywhere now all the time, like Gary's showing there last night, you know, and I see stuff like that all the time. What these hip preachers are doing, and these, they ain't even churches. I don't like to call them churches because that ain't what they are. They're temples of Baal. Just as sure as it was back then, that's exactly what they are now. They're great swelling words of vanity. Get up there in their casual dress, dishonoring without any reverence for the sacred desk. They don't even have this anymore. Done away with that. You walk around, strut around on the stage now. Don't have a pulpit. Well, I think we ought to have a pulpit. Ezra had a pulpit of wood, and they opened the book, and they read, and the people stood all day while they read the Word of God, and they wept. I mean, that's church. That's the way it ought to be. It shouldn't be this entertainment, showbiz stuff, and telling stories, and everybody a howling and a carrying on about some stupid story that was just made up and ain't nothing but just pumping people's pride. Yeah.
That's right.
Now tell me about Jesus. Tell me about the law of sin and death and how the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from it. Yeah, tell me the old, old story. That's what I want to hear. And I'll tell you something else. The song is true. For they who know it best are hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest.
Right.
It never gets old. Gets sweeter and sweeter.
Right.
They don't like it anymore, though, in our day, do they? Well, they would if they'd ever know the truth. Sure would. All right, I'm not going to go on and on. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, what it says there in verse 2, hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. All right, stand with me. A word of prayer. Father, thank you for the Word of God. And I thank you, Lord, for the time together. Thank you for the truth that is here. And Lord, I pray. I know maybe they think I'm just repeating the same thing over and over. We're going through these verses, though. And this is what the Bible says to us over and over. It's something that you really want us to understand. And we need it really bad in the day that we're living in, because this is not the message that's being preached. It's just being ignored and being misrepresented and being twisted and edited by everybody. These new Bibles don't even, the half of the first verse of Romans chapter 8 is not even in them. They cut it out and threw it away. Lord, help us to be faithful to your word and be faithful to the truth. And Lord, please work in us through your Spirit, Lord, that we would be real and that we could be the light of the world and the salt of the earth as you've said we are. And help us, Lord, not to lose our Savior in these evil days. Please help us now. The rest of the week, I pray you'd guide and direct our lives, watch over each one as we're out on the roads and everything. Lord, all the perils and dangers of life here, please protect all the children and the young people here and all of us. And Lord, help us to be a witness when we get a chance. Help us, Lord, to always be ready to say a word for you to some lost soul out there. Please use us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.